You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded, top 25, under 25, into the top 10. And of course, we're at number 8 with Alex Newhook, newly minted player from the Colorado Avalanche. He had Joshua Roy just below him at 10 on an average score in the rankings. Alex Newhook has 9, and the next above has 5.6. So this is the gap. This is where the plateau sort of evens out before you run into top 7 and where the next plateau starts. I'm fortunate enough, thanks to a very good friend over at The Athletic, Murat Ateş, to be joined by Peter Barr from The Athletic as well, obviously, but covering Colorado Avalanche on his summer break. Thank you so much for joining us, Peter.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's a huge pleasure. I've read some of your articles, especially last year with the Cup run and me being a Lekkonen fan. Great to see him succeed. Great to see the Colorado succeed, even without Forsberg there, you know?
Yeah. They had Landeskog though, so they had their Swedish presence.
Yeah, but he's no Forsberg.
No. It's hard to be Peter Forsberg.
Yeah, and that's how old I am as well. That's what I remember, you know.
So yeah, of course.
And the good old Detroit rivalry as well. Superb games, fantastic atmosphere, and some good fights as well. We're here to talk about Alex Newhook. First and foremost, at the trade, were you surprised? Were you what were your feelings about the trade in general?
I would say I wasn't. I would say neither surprised, but I wasn't expecting it either. I think that it was when I saw the return, it made a lot of sense. I think for both sides, and it just felt like Newhook had kind of reached this past season was a difficult season for him in some ways. I think not being able to kind of seize a top six role like he was hoping, like the team was probably hoping. And so it made sense to maybe get him a fresh start, for the Avs to get back some draft picks that they really could use. And then kind of bolster their system, use one of those picks to get Ross Colton, who's maybe a little more ready for that third line kind of grinding role that Newhook maybe wasn't quite slotted for. So I think it made sense as soon as kind of you went and reflected on it, even if I wasn't maybe expecting it when it happened.
You mentioned, obviously, top six role. Is that where you see him needing to play in order to succeed?
Not necessarily. I think, you saw on the Stanley Cup winning team, he was a contributor mostly in a bottom six role. I think he's a guy who has top six potential. Whether he gets there is kind of up to him and finding that level of consistency. I think honestly what will help him in Montreal is I think he's going to have a little more freedom to make mistakes, whether that's in a bottom six role or a top six role. But Colorado was obviously so focused on trying to win another cup, on playoff success, on winning the division. And sometimes that doesn't always align with a player's development. Because I think Newhook was a guy who probably needed the freedom to try things on the ice, to make a mistake here or there and not be in the doghouse because of a mistake. And I think in Montreal, he'll get a lot of opportunity, a lot of ice time. And I think just more ice time will probably help him kind of figure out who he is as a player, learn about the league and kind of go from there.
Obviously a local boy as well, having grown up a Montreal Canadiens fan from what I've heard. 2.9 million deal, four-year deal, a really good contract. Do you see him as a center? Do you see him down the line, or do you see him as a winger?
Well, he played both in Colorado, and I think that's actually a really interesting question is what position he plays at long-term. I think there's some things he has to get more comfortable with if he's going to play center longer term. He was okay defensively, but I think maybe having a little more confidence with the puck on his stick, it seemed like there was a point kind of midway through the season, as the season went on a little bit later in the season, where he kind of found a groove there a little bit more than he had previously. I think at the beginning of the year, I know Jared Bednar, the Avs coach, talked about wanting him to have a little more confidence with the puck on his stick. And I think when you saw him do that, I think you saw the production follow and certainly the good play. And I think there's some elements of that he needs to work on and improve on if he's going to stick at center. But he's already showed like that he can be a capable middle six to bottom six player at the NHL level. And considering he's only 22, there's reason for optimism that he could, he'll at the very least be that going forward and could potentially develop into something more.
Yeah. And going back to the contract, it's a fantastic contract for Montreal Canadiens as well. So you leave room for improvement down the line, and having Alex Newhook to sort of anchor that, whatever you want to call it, the middle six, probably forward group. What is Alex Newhook's strength then? Like we mentioned a little bit where he struggled, but where do you see his main strength?
Well, he's an excellent skater. He's got a lot of really good ability in that regard. And that made him, I think, appealing to Colorado when they drafted him, because that's the type of hockey they like to play in. And so his skating ability is really good and something that'll be really valuable. I think he's got a really good shot and offensive ability to kind of play make. And that's something that you can't always find in, I guess, in a late round draft pick. Like, he's got that skill that made him the 16th overall pick. So he's got a lot of tools, and I think his skating really makes him appealing.
You know, everyone in the Montreal system since the trade has been the next Artur Lehkonen. Is this Alex Newhookonen?
We'll see. I mean, I think the one thing with Lehkonen is he's such a relentless forechecker, and Newhook forechecks and stuff, but I think he certainly has a ways to go before he's kind of that type of player, and a guy who's maybe counted on in a penalty killing role and who can and forecheck relentlessly. So I don't know if that's the, I guess, perfect comp, because I think Newhook probably has a little bit more natural offensive ability than Lehkonen did. Lehkonen probably has a little more forechecking ability than Newhook. So it's, I don't know if that's the exact comp I'd use, but I'm sure Montreal would be thrilled if that ended up being the case.
Well, every team would be, and if, especially as you mentioned, Lehkonen's defensive acumen is so strong down the line. So you can put him more or less anywhere. Well, even you guys even showed he could play the first on the top line as well. I asked you as a little bit of a gimmick as well. We know our sister site is Mile High Hockey is doing this, but if you were to turn in a top 25 under 25 list for Colorado, where would you have Newhook in that system? And I will take a wild guess and say that you have a certain Kyle McCarr as number one.
Yeah, Cale Makar manages to sneak in at number one there. He's pretty good at hockey.
I've heard that. I don't watch Colorado that much anymore.
I would guess that it's kind of tough because I don't fully know what some of the new guys are yet. Like some of the guys they drafted in Callum Ritchie and Gliaev, the guy they got in the late first. So they're definitely, I think seeing how they develop could change things, but I'd probably have him in the 3 to 5 range, somewhere in there. I think obviously Kale's number one, Bowen Byram, I would say, is two. And then Newhook in terms of under 25 NHL ready players is definitely number three. But there are a few other guys who are prospects who could eventually, I think, maybe surpass him. And whether that's Oscar Olsson, who's a Swedish kid who had a okay year with the Eagles last year. Jean-Luc Foudy is someone who has shown some promise. I would probably have Newhook at three, I think, just because you know that he's already an NHL level player. But I also think that you could make a case for some of the young prospects that are coming up in the pipeline.
Yeah, we mentioned this during this exercise that, you know what you have, but the prospect could be You know, it could be a super yacht, or it could be like the really crappy wooden boat over there that is sinking because all of the holes. So you never know. It's a mystery box, and that is what makes everyone have a little bit of a different rankings, and it makes for an intriguing comment section on our website as well.
We will go on a commercial break here. If you're in a car, if you had your headphones in, make sure to lower the voice so you don't get blindsided or get an ear infection from a little bit of a loud commercial.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
We are back, and we're looking forward to hear more of what Peter Bohr will say about Alex Newhook and his role with the Montreal Canadiens.
Colorado is going for it this upcoming season as well. Montreal, not so much. But Montreal is probably going to avoid the bottom, and they're probably going to manage to avoid the playoffs unless one team struggles completely in the division. Realistically, looking at Newhook, looking at what you know about the Montreal Canadiens, and where what kind of expectations should we really have on Newhook at this time?
Yeah, so I mean, last year Newhook had, I'm pulling it up, 30 points. He had 30 points last year, 33 points the year before. I would guess that he'll get a little bit of power play time with Montreal, and I think that'll help him a lot in terms of production and kind of getting a little bit more point wise. I think he'll have a little more opportunity. He averaged, I think, looks like 13. He's never played more than 14 minutes a game on average in a season. So I think with Montreal, I would guess that they're going to have him kind of in a role where he'll have a chance to earn some more ice time. And I think that that could lead to more production. He was in an interesting spot going into last year with Colorado, because I think there was a lot of hope that he could maybe be the 2C. And I think that was just a little bit too big of a jump for him going into the season. And I think that in Montreal, I think obviously there will be expectations for him, and it's obviously a place where people care a lot about hockey and will be invested in his success, but it's a little less urgent than it was in Colorado of like, can he be the 2C that can help the Colorado Avalanche repeat as cup champions? He doesn't need to be that in Montreal, and I think that'll lead to him getting a little bit more ice time. So I don't know if that's on the wing on the second line, if it's third line center, but I would guess that he'll probably get more than 13 minutes of ice time a game in Montreal, plus some time on the power play. And I think that could lead to him having maybe a career high in points. He's had, I think he had 14 goals this past year, 13 goals the year before. So maybe he gets up into the higher teens in goals. I think that would be kind of an ideal scenario for him, is get a little more power play time, get more ice time, and just kind of let him find his game in NHL action.
There's been talk about him being part of the Caulfield Suzuki line. There's been talk about him and Kirby Dach fighting it out for the second C spot. You know enough. You know a lot about hockey. Obviously, you don't know enough about Montreal hockey. But if you have Kirby Dach, big, strong, Newhook a little bit smaller, a little bit more skating wise, probably. But do you see him fighting it out for that second C spot, or do you think he will, as we mentioned earlier, transition maybe into a winger?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what Montreal will use him as. I would guess that he can do both. So I would guess that maybe no, every team will deal with injuries this year. So I'm guessing that at some point there'll be injuries that'll lead to him maybe playing with with the at center, but maybe he starts it. If they have, if Doc, I mean, it seemed like he had a really nice year last year. And if he stays at second line center, then maybe you have Newhook on the wing in a role where he can get more ice time. If Doc is hurt or if someone else gets hurt, maybe then you see Newhook get a little bit more time at center. Or maybe he slots in at third line center. Like there's different, I think, ways for him to kind of get time in the middle of the ice. I don't know exactly Montreal's situation and what they're looking for from him. I think for me, the biggest thing I'm looking for with Alex Newhook is how much ice time he's going to get. And I think that's kind of the most important thing for him, his development, is just getting opportunity and playing time.
You also mentioned power play, maybe earning some of that confidence back, because it's obviously a little bit of a confidence shatterer being traded as well. But earning that confidence, going forward, getting some extra points. But also, when you look at it, he took quite of a low contract, quite of a long contract with that number as well. You mentioned the pressure in Montreal. Do you think that was a smart move from him to maybe get out of some of that pressure, especially being sort of a local boy?
You mean just by taking the kind of lower contract?
Indeed.
Yeah, well, I'm not 100% sure what his value was. I mean, I'm sure he probably would have loved to have gotten a bit more AAV, but he's still going to, this contract still allows him to get a new deal when he's what, 26, I think. So he'll be able to renegotiate in the somewhat near future, which will be good for him. It's very similar to the deal Kirby Doc signed. It's a little bit less, but I think Kirby Doc's, I'm looking now, is 3.3 for 4 years. So I think Newhook's is kind of right in that range, and that'll allow him to then maybe earn his get a new contract a few years from now if he kind of plays to his potential. I think that it's certainly more than he probably would have gotten in Colorado, which might have also played into the trade. He probably wasn't going to be able to get a huge number in Colorado because of how tied up against the cap they are. And so he probably maybe took a little bit higher AAV than he was going to get in Colorado and maybe sacrificed being able to go to negotiate sooner because of that.
Interesting. Have you heard there's been a lot of talk about character in Montreal, and even by the old guard like Bergevin and before getting fired. Is Alex Newhook one of those guys that is that character player? Obviously, he brings in the pedigree of a Stanley Cup and what it takes to get there and what it takes to hoist it as well, not just get there, because some of the players in Montreal obviously was at the Stanley Cup final. But what brings he in those intangibles that everyone likes to talk about?
Yeah, I never heard a bad thing about Newhook as a guy in Colorado, and I liked talking to him and getting to know him. So I think he fits the bill there of the young kind of core of players that they're trying to have, and someone who, like you said, has experience, is a positive presence in the dressing room. And I think also with his relationship with Kent Hughes, I mean, Kent Hughes knows his character as well as anyone. Their kids are really good friends. And I think that probably speaks to his trust. Kent Hughes is making a bet on Newhook as a person as well as a player. So I think that all kind of ties together. And I think that he fits the bill there of being a positive presence in terms of the locker room's overall character.
I've heard through sources, and they're not confirmed, but you mentioned obviously that Hughes knows Newhook and his dad, and I've heard that Newhook is really, really crazy to go to or excited to go to the Habs, and he pushed for it himself. We've been talking about it money-wise, old team-wise, etc., etc., and he thinks the Montreal way of playing is suiting his style of play. I would have thought that the way that Colorado played also suited his play, but is it the fact that the big bruisey range of players that you have over in the Pacific with Vegas as well and Seattle coming up those kind of things, whereas you have maybe more skilled players in the Northeast at the moment?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he was like pushing for a trade or anything. I haven't heard that specifically. I can't speak to kind of what he was looking for this offseason. But I think that it might honestly be, in terms of style of play, Colorado did play a style that theoretically would fit him really well. High flying, skating, kind of offensive minded. I think that the thing that Montreal, I know I'm probably repeating myself, but I think the thing that Montreal just offers more of is opportunity. So he gets the play style that he likes, and also a little more freedom to make mistakes, to get more ice time and really develop his game in a way that maybe he wasn't going to have the opportunity to do in Colorado, because Colorado needs to be more focused on the present and winning now, and not having young players making mistakes or whatever, because they need to win games in the short term.
Yeah, no, and as you mentioned, we've spoken about it, but getting that confidence maybe to build to be on these top level around 25, 26 when his contract goes out as well. So it makes completely sense. You've been listening to Peter Barr from The Athletic. What are your stories coming out now, or when are you preparing for the season?
Yeah, I'm just kind of gradually working on some stuff. I think there'll be a fun story coming out shortly after this podcast. I don't want to give too much away about it, but it's about it's kind of a not Avalanche specific. So fans might want to check it out. And it should be all over The Athletic. And I don't know when this, I think probably the shortly after this episode comes out, in the next few days after that. And then I just have some gradual stuff I'm working on. By the time this is out, I should have a story up about kind of Devon Toews, what his next contract could look like, some guys who maybe could, and then a look at some guys who maybe could slot into bigger roles for the Avs this coming year. So should be interesting. And then camp will be here before we know it. And we'll see. Jonathan Drouin is in Colorado now, and we'll see how he does reunited with Nathan MacKinnon. And it should be an interesting year.
You got, well, three pieces in that train, really, didn't you? Two prospects and Jonathan Drouin?
In the new hook?
Yeah, train. Meaning like you signed Jonathan Drouin as a free agent.
Yeah, he was a free agent, so not technically. But yeah, they got out of new hook, they traded the second round pick from Montreal for Ross Colton, and then they drafted Guliaev, who's a defenseman I think they're pretty excited about out of Russia. And then obviously got the young defenseman who's more of an AHL player and from Montreal in that deal as well.
Fairbrother, was it? Yeah.
Fairbrother, yes. Yes.
Peter, it's been superb talking to you. I hope we meet in the playoffs soon so we can do this again. That's what I keep telling Murat. But really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much.